As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence. And I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here, and we are standing in his presence on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Standing in his presence on holy ground.
In his presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know he has the answer. Reach out and claim it, child, you're standing on holy
standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Presence on holy ground.
We are
standing in his presence on holy ground.
Praise the Lord this morning that we are in the presence of the Lord, and we appreciate our beloved singers this morning, and what a surprise it was when we walked in and had them prepared to sing, and a tremendous, tremendous blessing to have them here this morning, and what an honor and a joy it is just to know that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us. He is for us. He is in us. And because of those facts, church, really there's no need to worry. But because we live in this human flesh, this house of clay, we'll worry, won't we? But we praise the Lord that we feel his presence this morning. And we praise the Lord that he is here at Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs. And I want to say that he is in your place as well. He's in your living room. He is wherever you are. The Lord is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. And So we have a lot to rejoice over for that very fact this morning. I do want to say welcome to Calvary Baptist Church Facebook page, coming to you live this Sunday morning. And we are excited about the service today. And I just want to say thank you for watching during the duration of this pandemic, since it's hit our nation, since it's hit the world, actually. And the church has actually been separated from attending together in the local assembly. But nonetheless, we have been coming to you live the best we can, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, Sunday in, Sunday out. And you have been faithful to watch, Calvary. Thank you for that. We've picked up some new viewers along the way, and we're thankful for that. I've seen and went back and saw some that have viewed, some of friends of mine I hadn't seen in a long time. And thank you for watching, some family members even. And I just want to say thank you for your time, because I know that there are a lot of church services taking place right now. In fact, I call it a buffet of preachers on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. But just want to say thank you to Calvary for being faithful to your church and listening and watching. And what a blessing you are. And good Lord willing, we'll be opening the doors at least on Sunday mornings, coming on the 21st of this month, Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Father's Day. We are excited about that. We are thrilled about that. We are beginning preparations this week as far as spacing of seating and taping the, it's hard to say, I can't even imagine doing this, but spacing the seating, taping the pews, doing what we have to do to make sure that your safety is in place for when you come. Also, we will, of course, have hand sanitizing stations. Those are already in place, but we'll add a couple. Please feel welcome to wear your face masks, wear gloves if you like to do that. Or maybe you don't feel like now is the time for you to come back, and we're fine with that. That's between you and the Lord. And also, it's just a matter of health. We don't want you to get sick. We don't want you to battle fear in the house of God. So you take the time you need. And we just want you to know that these doors will be open when you're ready. We will be here and we'll be ready for you. I want to say this because this has been an issue of other churches that's been opening as of late, that because of the pew spacing and the 6-foot CDC guidelines, at times there has been an overflow where some church members haven't been able to come back on their starting church service date, because of the spacing and the amount of members coming back, and some had to come back the following Sunday. We don't want that to happen, so I believe what we're going to do, this is actually new to, I haven't shared this yet, but I believe it'll be a great idea. What we're going to do is we'll, of course, have the pew spacing, but also we're going to have an overflow in the fellowship hall. We view the services on our televisions. We have one in the nursery, one down in the fellowship hall. And so if that happens here on that Sunday morning, Father's Day, then we'll have an overflow down in our fellowship hall area to view the service. It won't be the same, but at least we'll have the capacity to house everyone. Again, we don't want to take up too much time this morning mentioning all those things, but please know we are getting ready to open back up. I want to say this, that many things are opening up. Stores are opening up. Grocery stores are opening up. All the salons are opening up. Bowling alleys, bars, everything you could think of is opening up. God forbid the house of God not to open up. God's house needs to open up. And so we are doing that with the strictest of guidelines. And of course, we're not going to stretch anything out and make our ministry suffer. We love Sunday school. We love Sunday night service, Wednesday night choir, And in church, I know you are chomping at the bit, so to speak. I am myself, to jump back in with all those things. We will just spend a little time making sure no one is getting sick and everything is taking hold. And I'm telling you, we will usher those things back in ASAP so that we can go full throttle again. Of course, being precautious, but moving forward. Let me mention a couple of prayer requests, a couple of praises, and then we'll pray, and then I will toss it back to Brother Allen for some more good singing this morning. I want to say that Brother Jamie Dickerson, this is Lauren Hancock's dad, he had a successful heart surgery this past week, and so we praise the Lord for that. In fact, I believe he's going home tomorrow, is the last word that I received. And so I know that's a blessing for him and Miss Patty, but also I know that Miss Lauren is praising the Lord for her daddy coming home, being gone like that, being having a heart surgery. I know that was heavy on her heart, but the Lord answered that prayer, and he's coming home. We praise the Lord for that. Many, many other prayer requests, many things that have transpired, taking place. I ask you to remember a friend of mine, a friend of ours, Miss Karen Pittman. Her mother went home to be with the Lord this past week. We had her funeral services in Atlanta, and just remember her family as she gets adapted to the new life, that empty seat at the table, that missed conversation. But her mom's in heaven. She was a born-again Christian. Remember that. Again, let's continue to remember Miss Betty Berry and her well-being, her health. And what a blessing it is to not only have Brother Allen with us, but have Brother Allen, Miss Terry with us this morning. And double blessing. Let's pray for them, church. And as they continue to take care of Miss Terry, Miss Amanda is with us. Jackson's on the drums. Of course, Brother David's on the keyboard. And Brother Randy in the sound room. And we have a couple others here this morning. God's good this morning. And I tell you, God's people want to be in God's house. Let's just remember everyone in prayer. I want to say thank you to Brother Don Rich for preaching for me this past Wednesday night. Had a couple appointments to attend, and concerning some things personally, but anyway, those things are taken care of. So thank you, Brother Don, and it was a great message. It was great singing. Thank you for taking care of the sermon, the Sunday night sermon prior to that as well. We appreciate you guys, you and Miss Carla. We love you. And so now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Enough has been said. We have come to worship this morning, and my ultimate prayer this morning for those who are viewing is this, is that someone would get born again. Someone out there, maybe you were invited by a Calvary member to watch. Maybe you didn't even want to watch, but you're watching now. My prayer is that you will hear something through song or through the preached word that will connect to your life right now, that will make sense, and that you will say yes to Jesus, so that when you die, heaven will be your home, so that now he will reveal his purpose for you, and that you can experience peace for the journey. Also, my prayer is for the Christian that may be struggling. May God speak peace to your heart and courage for tomorrow. That's my prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this morning in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us. You already have, Lord. We're standing on holy grounds. The sweet Holy Spirit has anointed this service. Holy Spirit has given us anointed singers this morning. We're so very thankful for that. Pray, Lord, that you'll continue to minister to the viewers, minister to those that are here this morning. And God, when it comes time to open your word, I pray that you would minister through your word. May you be honored. May you be glorified. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, that there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin. And I am so thankful for the blood that was shed for me. I know that the Lord would have went and shed His blood just for me, and I'm thankful for that. If you're listening this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, may this song touch your heart, may the message touch you. May you be drawn to salvation today in this ever-changing world. There's so much fear out there, and we want to encourage you today that Jesus is the answer. And you need to have His blood applied to your life, His blood applied to your heart. You need to know the Lord today before it's everlasting too late. You listen as we sing a song that is so powerful this morning entitled, This Blood.
Cost a life that paid my way, death its price. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, He breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you He's alive. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. There is a blood, the sight sublime, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound, as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out to cleanse my soul, and let His liquid glory flow. Because He lives to make me whole, I owe my life, I owe my all.
So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense.
So I come to tell you alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. Yes, I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you.
There is a
feeling it at home like we're feeling it here. Going through the, I guess probably nearly 3 months of pandemic drought or pandemic chaos, not being in God's house with God's people, and then experiencing good godly singing is just outstanding. And I feel like that NASA spaceship getting ready to take off, and I just appreciate a salvation that I can feel. And God, when he saves you, he gives you something real, something that you can feel. And I don't know, I guess maybe it was Benjamin Franklin. Can't really remember how the story goes, but it was somewhere along the lines of the little boy who was flying the kite, and he had a hold of that string. That kite got way above there, up in the air, and got above the clouds. Man walked up and said, "Little boy, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." Boy said, man said, "How you know you're flying a kite?" "I don't see no kite." He says that, he says, "I can feel the tug of the string." I want to say salvation is that way. We can't see what we have, but we can feel it. That had nothing to do with Benjamin Franklin, but anyway, that was another illustration. I'm glad we can feel the realness of God. And church, I just want to encourage you to hang in there a little bit longer. We're about to be back in God's house, and where we all can partake of His blessing once again. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And I want to share with you one verse as we begin to look at something that I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to your life. We were looking at a certain subject this week and really, really asking God what to share. I'm not one of these who, I try to get involved with series messages and I try to get involved, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I believe it's helpful to God's people if the preacher, a teacher in Sunday school, would bring series of messages or lessons and go through books of the Bible. That's helpful, and I've done that before, but I'm a heart preacher. I really feel like God has a certain message for each particular service. And so God has laid this upon my heart, and I want to share this with you this morning. I'm not sure if we can finish it or not, but we will take our time getting through it. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I want to read one verse. That's 1 Samuel 16 in verse number 1. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We're thankful for who you are, for what you do. Lord, our spirits are edified. We're satisfied. We're content at the moment. Lord, we're thankful for the good singing, Lord. Brother Allen, Sister Terry, Sister Amanda, thank you for Jackson and David and Brother Randy, Lord, all of our musicians and those who make this possible. Thank you for the great blessing this morning, God. I pray as we read, Lord, and we try to communicate your truth to the hearts of your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would bring us further than we can go within ourselves. We need you this hour. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, I want you to notice verse number 1. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Again, this morning, that's reading one verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, in verse number 1. I want to say by way of introduction, as we summarize what exactly is taking place in this verse, that we see the Lord has chosen a new king. He has chosen a new king for Israel for an appointed time. An appointed time down the road. And there was only one problem with this. We see that Samuel struggles with that idea. I want you to notice again in verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel was wrestling with the idea that Saul was not going to be the forever king of Israel. And so we have in this verse that God was raising up a new king. And this new king was going to be the new king for Israel. Not today. Not in this day. But it was going to be down the road sometime. In an appointed time. You see, God had a purpose for this new king. And it wasn't for this particular day. It was down the road. This purpose was to be fulfilled. But nonetheless, the Lord had chosen a new king for Israel for an appointed time down the road. And Samuel struggles with that. He's struggling with a new king down the road. This is something that Samuel had to come to terms with. And so God tells Samuel, he says, Samuel, I want you to fill thine horn with oil and go. You see, sometimes in life when God speaks to us, it may not necessarily be pleasant things or even things we agree with that we want to do. Samuel's struggling with this idea of a new king. But yet God says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Then the Lord says, fill thine horn with oil and go. Many times in life, God instructs us. And the Lord, he guides us in life. Sometimes it's to our pleasure, but other times it's to our displeasure. Has God ever led you down a course in life that you didn't agree with? He has for me. Sometimes God leads me in places of green pasture where it's lovely and it's lush and it's green. But other times in life, it's places like Marah, where the Lord had, by cloud of day and fire by night, had led Moses. And the people of God, they were thirsty. And they wanted a drink of water, but yet it was bitter waters. You see, sometimes in life, God, he leads us to bitter waters. And other times in life, he leads us to green pastures. And so in verse number 1, we see here that Samuel was wrestling with this idea. But then God tells him, fill thine horn with oil and go. He says, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Nevertheless, God tells him to fill his horn with oil and go. He says he will send him to Jesse's house, and it will be among Jesse's children that he will find the next king. Make a long story short this morning. We know that the king was not the tallest. We know the king was not the bravest necessarily at the being first on scene. Wasn't the tallest, wasn't necessarily the bravest because his other brothers were in battle. But yet we know that this king was young David. David received this anointing from Samuel's horn that was filled with oil. This was showing that David would be the next king of Israel down the road. You see, this wasn't only the time that David received an anointing. I want you to understand this morning. Stay with me. This was David's first anointing. And he received this anointing as king. But you see, this wasn't his only time he was anointed in his life before he became king. There was another time, there was two other times he was anointed. You see, this wasn't the only time that David received an anointing before he was king. There were two other occasions that David was anointed with oil before taking the royal throne. Of course, this was spread out over a number of years. Many times in Scripture, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's enablement and the Holy Spirit's ability. Isaiah chapter number 61 and verse 1. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. You see, in Scripture, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit and His enablement. Also in Matthew chapter number 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. In this parable of the 10 virgins, we see that 5 were wise and 5 were unwise. You see, there was an elected time when this bridegroom would come, but only the bridegroom knew when he was coming. The virgins did not. And so their jobs were not only to trim their wicks, but also to make sure that they had plenty of oil in their lanterns. 5 of them had trimmed wicks but no oil in their lanterns. Thus, they had no flame, which meant that they could not have no light to go out and meet the bridegroom at midnight, the midnight cry. But 5 of those virgins were wise. Not only did they trim their wicks, but they had oil in their lanterns. Thus, they were able to have a flame, meaning that they were able to watch for the bridegroom and see him when he came at midnight. You see, in Scripture, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit and his enablement, his ability. And this morning, we see David in his 3 anointings. His 3 anointings. We see that number 1, he was anointed here as a shepherd boy. But then David sets out in his lifespan, and one day he's a king over all of Israel. So as we step back and view David's life from being a shepherd boy to becoming king over Israel, it's safe to say that David had to be anointed more than once. He needed God's touch over. He needed God's touch again. He needed God's touch more than twice. He needed God's enablement. I want to speak this morning on that subject, David's 3 anointings. And I want to say that the same way that God has chosen David, the same way that God had a place for David as king is the same way that God deals with us. God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life and for my life. And you see, this plan and this purpose, in order to get from point A to point B, sometimes it can span through our entire life process to get from shepherd boy to king. And you see, during this process, we need the touch of God once and twice and 3 times. We need God's enablement, you see. The 3 anointings of David. Number 1, I want you to notice this morning, the first anointing of David was a divine anointing. Notice, if you would, and we're here in 1 Samuel 16. Notice again in verse number 1, we see that there's a divine anointing. This anointing was between God and David. David was chosen to be king by God. Verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. Notice, if you would, verse number 11. We know that Samuel goes there for the sake of time. He works his way through his sons. Verse number 6, we see Eliab. And then verse number 8, there's Abinadab. Verse number 9, Shammah. Verse number 10, and again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. But verse number 11, the Bible says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, notice, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Church, I want you to see this morning that this was the first anointing of David, was a divine anointing. It was a divine enablement. It was a divine choosing. This anointing was between God and David. David was chosen. He was chosen by God to be king. David didn't choose to be king. David was minding his own business when God chose him. David was chosen to be king by God. You and I did not choose ourselves, number one, to salvation. But God chose everyone to salvation. We just responded to his callings. And then when we get saved, we did not choose to become whatever we are, whatever area of service, whether it's a singer, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a teacher, whether it's whatever area of ministry. We didn't choose that per se. It's God that chooses who he uses. And God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, by the way. David was a shepherd boy, yet God has called him to be a king. You see, that's the kind of God that we serve, church. We serve a God who sends out divine anointings upon our life. Divine callings. This first anointing of David, this anointing was between God and David. David was chosen to be king by God. Let me say this. David was chosen to be king by God in spite of what man thought. Look at verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You see, David would not have been chosen by man at all. He was short. He was young. And in the sight of man, incapable. In fact, he was working with sheep. And if you really want to get down to it, the last man that was chosen, Saul, was head and shoulders above all. But God said, as he was using Samuel to choose the next king, He so to speak, ran his hand over Eliab. And Samuel said, is this one it? No. Then we have the next brother. We have Abinadab. Is this one it? No. Shammah, is this one it? No. And then all the other seven ones. No, no, no. All seven. No, those are not it. Then the question was asked in verse number 10, or verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest. It's almost like Jesse was making this excuse. Well, you really don't know about him. He's young. And the Bible says, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. You know, he's at the house. He's just a little old shepherd boy. He don't know any better to do. You know, he can't be a king. He doesn't have king potential. Oh, but no, 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 no. In verse number 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. This divine calling. Listen, David was chosen in spite of what man thought. I'm glad that God chooses to look upon the heart when he calls men and women to ministry. Because most of us will not be chosen. God, sometimes people, they choose the most well-educated. They choose, I can't speak for you not to be chosen. I speak for me. I probably wouldn't have been chosen for ministry. Because much of the time, if you go into the secular world as it is, they look for the most educated, the most prim and proper, the most well-groomed and trained person. And I mean, if you say a wrong word or you have any kind of a language style of, you know, from upbringing that doesn't fit their fancy, then you're disqualified. But we serve a God this morning who calls, and the one who chooses to use the weak things of the world to confound the wise. God looks down to a beggar and raises him up to create miracles in the lives of those he loves, that he may be glorified. We see that one of the anointings of David was a divine anointing. This anointing was between God and David. David was chosen to be king. David was chosen in spite of what man thought. But listen to this. David was faithful with prior duties. Notice again in verse number 11, chapter 16. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Notice this. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. I'm convinced God calls those who are already serving. David was a faithful shepherd boy. But you see, this wasn't going to be the end occupation of David's service. It was just a starting point. And I want you to notice that David was faithful with prior duties. God had a divine anointing upon David. And God chose David to be king, and he chose him in spite of what man thought. But David was faithful with prior duties. He was a shepherd boy. Before this anointing, he was keeping the sheep faithfully. Look over in chapter number 17. I want you to notice something. We know that David has already received his first anointing. Last Sunday night we preached on David's battle with Goliath. And now David is getting ready to face Goliath. And I want you to notice that David's prior experience was put into play against Goliath. Notice 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. What are you saying this morning, Brother Justin? I'm simply saying this, that God was training David as a shepherd boy to step into giant territory, to use that experience to face Goliath, to beat Goliath. But guess what? After Goliath, there was another battle. And after that battle, there was another battle. And after that battle, there was another battle. And another battle. And then one day, someday, down the road, after God had anointed him several times, he was king. But I want you to know that David was faithful to prior duties before this anointing. Some of you this morning are going through experiences in your life, and maybe they don't make sense, or maybe you feel like that you're just burdened down with a load of care, and maybe you feel like you're spinning your wheels and you're not catching traction spiritually. Maybe you feel like you've been let down by a friend or betrayed by a loved one or something or another is going on in your life, and you have all these burdens and you have these battles. You have these things against you in your life, and you want to serve the Lord susceptibly. You want there to be a liberty in your life. You want to move forward. You want to catch traction. You want to be over this. Let me say, child of God, stay faithful with that burden. Fight everything you have. Go to God in prayer concerning that situation. Be faithful with whatever thing God has for you in your life now, because he has a giant down the road later that he wants you to face. He has a ministry later on down the road for you to face. There's another mountain to climb down the road, but you need this experience this morning from being a shepherd boy, a shepherd girl. You need this experience this morning of trying to fight these bears and lions. Because one day you're going to use it such as David did. And you're going to look the devil in the eye and say, "Devil, there was a time in my life where you were battling me. And I was battling addiction and I was battling drugs. And yeah, it was a bear. And yeah, it was a lion. But I fought that bear and I fought that lion. And now you're trying to take my marriage. And now you're trying to take my church. And you can't have my church. You can't have my marriage. I fought that bear and won. I fought that lion and won. And Goliath ain't going to win this time, because the battle is the Lord's this morning." You see, church, David was faithful in prior things. And when we get to these verses, David says in verse number 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion, a bear, and took the lamb out of his flock." David is using his past experience in that area as a shepherd boy. And he's saying, "I stayed there. I was faithful there. And one day I was minding my own business. And my daddy Jesse called me." Of course, this was after the anointing. "My daddy Jesse called me to go deliver food to the men. And I seen a giant there. And he was taunting the people of God." And then David used that past experience for that giant. Listen, church, what I'm saying this morning is simply this, is that David was faithful with prior duties. But you see, it was his training. Maybe you're going through training. Listen, you may be as David is this morning, with a few sheep, a few responsibilities, a few burdens. I don't know what your situation is. It may not be all bad. You may say, "Brother Justin, I want more out of life. I want a bigger purpose out of life. I want to be like David. I don't necessarily want to be king one day, but I want to go from A to B." Listen, you need the experience in A to get to B. Many people, they want to wear the crown of royalty, but they don't want to wear the crown of thorns. Listen, you've got to wear the crown of thorns before God will let you wear the crown of royalty. Did not Jesus wear it in that order? For he was crowned with a crown of thorns. And then when he died upon the cross, then he was resurrected, ascended to the Father. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father in royalty. David had a time in the field training. A lot of people who work regular jobs know about field training. There's time where you get a job and you first get that job and it's called field training. Some other people call it grunt work. I don't know. But there's a time where you have to learn right where you're at. And then you move up to the second step. And then the third and the fourth. Well, you see, there was this divine anointing upon David between God and David. God called David to be king way down here, down the road. He received his anointing here as a shepherd boy. And he was faithful as a shepherd boy. It took some time for David to build kingly character, is what I'm trying to say. You can't, if you had a company, a business, if you had a landscaping, I'll use landscaping business. Brother CJ, he cuts grass. There's some others. I used to cut grass for a long time. And say, for instance, you had your own landscaping business, and you had a zero turn lawnmower, and you hired somebody to help you that had no experience at all on that zero turn mower. You would make the biggest mistake of your business life by putting him on that mower. Because I guarantee you there won't be no straight lines. It won't be pretty. There'll probably be a wrecked mower. I remember at Floyd Road when the church bought that zero turn and we were able to use that. And I remember Brother Berman got on that thing. And he wanted to test it out. And so I looked over in the field and he killed the engine, but he was going down the hill heading toward the cesspool pond. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to stop this thing." And he ran right into the fence. I mean, it was funny. He didn't even know what to do. He was a man that always knew what to do, but in that moment, he didn't. There has to be experience. What you do is that new hire you get doing landscaping, you put them on the grunt work. You know what that is? Weed eating. You know why I call it grunt work? The majority of my back problems come from doing landscaping, doing weed eating for all them years. But once you see that they're good at that, then and it's almost like it's second nature and they become bored with it, then you elevate them a little higher. That was David. David protected his sheep. He wasn't just a shepherd boy. He was a faithful shepherd boy. He protected his sheep. He was making his way toward being a king, you see. And then one day it was time where he delivered the food to his brethren. And while everybody was afraid, he knew in his heart, if he could stop a bear, if he could stop a lion, then he could stop Goliath. But keep in mind, with this anointing, it's also enablement by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so God was with him. Notice in verse number 13 of 1 Samuel 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And that leads me to my fourth point under my first point. And that is, David was empowered for the task. You see, David, by the Spirit's help, he was empowered for the job to make it to kingship. He was guided by the Spirit. The Spirit gave him wisdom and gave him encouragement that went along with his calling. That's why he was able to face Goliath, because he was anointed. And I want to tell everyone this morning, church, myself, remind me especially, if we're all those of us that are saved by the grace of God, we are anointed. We have received the unction of the Holy Ghost. We have been smeared by Him. We've been touched by God. We can face the Goliaths of our life. We can face the bears of this world. We see a divine anointing this morning. David was empowered for the task. Let me mention something else and then we'll close. Not only do we see a divine anointing in this threefold anointing of David, but then we see a development anointing, or a developing anointing. Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. In 2 Samuel chapter number 2, I want to read from verse number 4 in just a moment. I want you to notice, from the time David received his first anointing until now was probably a space of about 10 years. He's most likely 23 years old now. And now Saul and Jonathan has died in battle. And David inquires of the Lord if he should go up into any of the cities of Judah to assume his kingship. And the Lord tells him to go up to Hebron, so he does. And we find that David is anointed here by the house of Judah. Notice in verse number 4 of 2 Samuel chapter number 2. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. This is the second anointing of David. And I've called this the development anointing. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. We know that Saul is now dead. Jonathan is dead. And so the position for king is available. And so you would think it's time for David to move into that position. Some time has elapsed. And David is not a shepherd boy anymore. He's faced the bears of this world, the lions. He's killed Goliath. And so now he is inquired of the Lord to go and assume the role of a king. And I want you to notice again in verse number 4 that he is partially accepted as king. Verse 4, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. Now notice, if you would, down in verse number 8. There's a man by the name of Abner. And Abner is a general in the camp, in the armies of Israel. And the Bible says, but Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, which Saul is dead, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Notice this in verse number 9, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. We have a problem now. Because, wait a minute. Originally, David had a divine calling from God. Doesn't everybody understand that? Doesn't everybody know that David received the divine calling and he's the one to be king? Judah understood it. But Abner had another idea. But church, I want you to see something here. And in just a few moments, we'll bring it to a close. I want you to see that in life, God may give you a calling, a purpose, a divine anointing over a ministry, a desire in life to do something. And just because you may feel that desire does not mean everybody's on board with it. Does not mean everybody is for you. There are times where, in spite of even, listen, Judah knew about Samuel anointing him. Saul knew about Samuel anointing him. Abner knew about Samuel anointing him. Israel knew. And so in defiance to the word of God and to God's direct will, Abner was being defiant and said, you know what? I'm telling you that the son of Saul is entitled to the throne. And let me tell you what you deal with in the work of the Lord and when it comes to purposes of God and when it comes to serving God. You deal with it. You deal in life at times with people who chooses other people because they feel entitled to positions over the people who were divinely called to positions. David was divinely called and everybody knew it. Abner didn't care. Abner said, I don't care what God says. I know about the anointing of Samuel, and I know about Saul knew about it. Israel knew about it. And we know about all those things. And I heard about how David slayed Goliath. I know that. But I'll tell you right now, here sits Ish-bosheth. This is the very son of Saul. And I'm dedicated to Saul. I was dedicated to the years of Saul. And in my book, in my opinion, this man is entitled to the throne. And I want to say in life that this is the process that God takes you and God takes me from the start of our calling to the very full growth of our calling, to the bloom of our calling. It's a duration. It's a developing anointing. It's when God touches us. God allows us to be stretched. God allows us to be in contact with people who are not for us. It allows us to be in contact with people who are against us, as Abner was. If you keep reading this story, you'll find out that, in fact, in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Let me ask a question this morning. Was it because of David or was it because of the house of Saul? It was because of the house of Saul. It wasn't because the man of God, David. The only thing David was trying to do was live for the Lord. And because of that, he received attack. And if you go to live for the Lord, you will receive attack from the enemy. Even in the work of the Lord, there is politics. Listen, Abner felt that Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, had an entitlement. And because of his attitude, David had battles on his hands by the very call that God gave him. Some of the battles in your life today are battles that the human, that people put in your life, not God. But because of people feeling entitled and because of carnal-minded Christians even causing people to cause trouble in your life, in my life, God uses that for kingly characteristic building. David was being built to be a king. You know what I say this morning? Any kind of assaults on me, any kind of assaults that may come your way, if there's any Abners out there, if there's any Abners that try to come to me, all I can say is come on with it. Because I have a divine call on my life. you have a divine call on your life. And what I want to say this morning, anything that the devil tries to send my way, anything the devil tries to send your way, all it is God using that to build kingly characteristics. Because one day I will be in the position with an anointing on my life where I can stand up and preach the fire of God down, and people respond to the altar, and people get encouraged when I preach. That's all I want. I just want people to be encouraged when I preach. I want people to get saved when I preach. That's all I want. And one day God will bless that. In the meantime, there's Abners. In the meantime, there's those who turn their back on you. In the meantime, there's division. But you see, in the meantime, there's anointings. And David had a second anointing in his life. This was a developing anointing. Aren't you glad for the times that God anoints you and I during the way? Let me mention one more thing. I better close in a minute. There was a developing anointing. Again, in chapter 2, verse number 4, it was partially king. Abner said, this guy, I don't care about God's divine. I don't care about all that. I served with Saul. That's Saul's son. Go ahead, Ishbosheth. He has a crazy name anyway. Go ahead, Ishbosheth. Go ahead. If you notice, you read verse chapter 3. There was a long, long war. In fact, 7 years. Go to chapter number 5. 7 years. We arrive. 7 years later, we arrive at his third anointing. Chapter number 5. What a blessing. Look at verse number 3. So, 2 Samuel 5:3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. Notice this. And they anointed David king over Israel. Not in part, but the whole. Verse number four. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And here's the blessing. I call this last point destination anointing. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Listen, church. When you get to where God wants you to be, he will enable you to serve however long he wants you to serve. David served for 40. He reigned for 40 years. But there was a process to get there. Now, he may have had this divine anointing as a shepherd boy, but all the people weren't convinced. There had to be, Judah was convinced. And Abner, he wasn't convinced, but yet his motives were impure anyway. But through the whole process, God was building kingly characteristics. And then came the day when the war was over, things were settled, David behaved himself wisely, and those kingly characteristics were seen. And David was king over all Israel in chapter number 5, verse number 3. In this last anointing, he served for 40 years. We know that man, all three anointings, man anointed David. And but we know and we see that that first anointing, the Bible says that from that time forward, the Holy Spirit sent David. We see that God was controlling David the whole time. He was anointed several times by the Holy Spirit through that process. I said all that to say this morning, that there were three anointings in the life of David, from a shepherd boy to a king. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. And sometimes he has to develop us along the way. Wherever you're at this morning, don't try to run out of that place. Especially if you know God has put you there, because if you're fighting bears and lions today, he's getting you ready to fight giants tomorrow, because he has a throne somewhere doing some kind of ministry, some kind of work down the road for you tomorrow. Just hang in there and be of good courage. He'll bless you for it. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for who you are. God, I pray that you would take the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. We thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you again for the singing. As we give invitation virtually and in person, I pray, God, that you would bless the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.